priest was the Fox priest in Ireland. And unbelievably, he sang mass in Ireland.
And the world should be outraged about this. The world should all know about this and be outraged. I mean, it makes me sick. I mean, physically ill to hear that.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, and welcome to Best Case, Worst Case. This is your host, Jim Clemente, former New York City prosecutor, retired FBI profiler, and writer-producer on CBS's Criminal Minds. And with me today is Francie Hakes from Philadelphia on assignment. How you doing, Francie?
Good. Hi, Jim. Hi, everybody. I'm Francie Hakes, former state and federal prosecutor, and I'm glad to be with you and with Jim remotely today.
Well, today we have returned special guest Joanne Suter, who is an attorney licensed in Maryland, D.C., and California, and she, the main part of her focus is on sexual victimization cases. Joanne, how are you doing today?
I'm just fine. How are you doing?
Great, thank you. And today we're having you on to talk about your worst case. And worst case means a lot of things to different people. And so you get to define for yourself what case it is and why it's your worst case. So when we get into this, we first want to start and ask, what kind of case is this?
This is a sexual abuse case by a Catholic priest in Baltimore, in which so far there are probably 30 victims that have come forward, but we are still counting.
All right. And this is the case then that has been going on for a long time, hasn't it?
It has.
Okay. And is this the case? Am I jumping the gun to ask you if this is the case that is featured on the Netflix series The Keepers?
It is.
Okay. How did this case come to you?
Well, it's a long story. Victims in this case first came to our office in the 90s, but we had way too many cases in the office at that time, and my 10-year-old daughter had been diagnosed with a rare pediatric cancer.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that.
Oh, Joanne, that's terrible. I'm so sorry. Thank you. In any event, we decided not to take on any new cases for 18 months, and sadly, I had to turn dozens of these victims away, but they've all come back. So this is a case that goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
It's the worst case because it just doesn't stop.
Yeah. Well, Joanne, can you tell us, the show The Keepers obviously is covering the death of Sister Kathy, and then as they dig deeper into it, they find that the death of Sister Kathy was in fact a murder, and that it may have been motivated by the covering up of a bunch of sex crimes that had been occurring over a number of years at a school in Maryland. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And
that's how bad it is.
Yeah. And when they dug, there was a particular witness who had come forward who said that she was actually brought to the body of Sister Kathy as a means of threatening her into staying quiet. And that was Jane Doe.
You know, quite frankly, there are other victims who were also brought to see dead
really
bodies.
Can you tell us about that? Because I didn't hear about that. I didn't know about that. Did you, Francie?
No, I didn't see that in The Keepers.
The great thing about The Keepers is that although the original people who contacted us in the 90s have come back, but there are people all over the country who don't live in Maryland anymore who, quite frankly, thought that they were the only victim. They thought no one would believe them.
Yeah.
They didn't know that there were dozens and dozens of other victims.
Wow.
They thought they were alone.
And so did they also get bought to see the body of Sister Kathy, or are you talking about something else?
Well, many of them were sexually abused by Maskell. We have male and female clients that go back to the time when he was still in the seminary in 1957, employed by a Catholic camp in Kent Island, Maryland, and he was abusing back then.
Wow.
Almost every school he was ever assigned to, he was abusing kids there.
And one of the things that this is a good teaching point on, the fact is that in The Keepers, you eventually meet a male victim that preceded all the female victims at Keough, and it appears that their response to this young boy coming forward, being very brave and talking about and disclosing and giving horrific details of Maskell sexually victimizing him, that what they did, the church, they just moved him just a matter of blocks down the street to an all-girls school in response to this. They didn't address it. They didn't punish him. They didn't protect any children. And they felt that if we put him in front of girls, then he won't be doing this anymore. And the fact is that we know now that, and they should have known then, that it doesn't matter that offenders will cross gender lines all the time. It's not unusual. And certainly when the allegations first came in against Maskell in the girls' school, they should have, and they were, aware of prior allegations from this boy. Am I correct?
I believe that the Archdiocese knew or had to know about Joseph Maskell a long time before we're entering into these mediations that we are conducting today.
Joanne, I'm really intrigued by something you said a minute ago, which was that Jean, and I'm using her name because she uses her name in The Keepers, when Jean says that she was taken by Maskell to Sister Kathy's body to intimidate her, that there were others who were forced to see dead bodies. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? That's just a revelation I'm just unaware of.
I have several clients who are not featured in The Keepers at all, who were all taken by Maskell to see dead bodies. We think the homicide of Sister Kathy is also connected to other homicides, and that is being investigated very closely.
Okay, who are the other bodies that these victims were taken to see?
Well, it could have been Sister Kathy's body, but since the case has been back in our office and many, many people, I mean, hundreds of people have come forward, there's up to 9 unsolved homicides which have either a connection to Joseph Maskell himself or to the police who raped kids and hung out with Joseph Maskell. Now, let me tell you about that. I mean, Maskell was a master manipulator. He was very intelligent. He also had an appointment to the Baltimore County Police Department, the Maryland State Police Department, and the National Guard. Carried a weapon, a police radio, and everybody feared him. There were police, undoubtedly, who were very close to Maskell, whom he used to ride around with often, who also raped these girls. And it wasn't just the girls from the Catholic school. It's a couple of girls who have also come forward who were from public school, or in the case of one, she was a young runaway.
Sounds like, Joanne, that Maskell had plenty of access to children. And what I'm wondering is, what is the sort of legal vehicle you all are using now? I mean, I understand that you say you're investigating other unsolved homicides that may be tied to Maskell. The civil statute of limitations, if I'm not mistaken, is probably run.
It
what is
run.
It you all are trying to, what is your goal here obviously, well, for, a search for truth is critically important, but besides that?
Well, right now, the only thing our law firm can do for these victims is enter into mediation with the Archdiocese, with a retired judge who we both agreed to be their person to preside over these mediations. But quite frankly, many of my clients want, they feel terrible that Sister Kathy was told what was happening and agreed to protect them, and then she's missing on November 7, 1969. On or about the same time, there are other girls before and after that who appeared to be victims of sex abuse and clearly homicide. And it makes us sick that every one of these cases is an unsolved case today. So the girls want to know, the clients, everything we can do, and we're working with the police on this as well.
So Joanne, then when you're talking about all these cases, all these things that are happening, this is an ongoing investigation. The Keepers just really was just the, you know, scratching the surface of this case, right? It's something that it doesn't even go into anywhere, any detail of the number of victims, the genders of the victims, the time frame of the victims, and maybe even many more murders that are associated with the same priest and the same set of circumstances. That's outrageous.
Absolutely. There's no question about it.
Well, and Joanne, what I find interesting is something you just said, and that is that you're currently working with the Baltimore police on these ongoing investigations, which is obviously a massive turnaround from what is depicted in The Keepers and may very well have been some police or police personnel involvement with Maskell back in the 60s and 70s. So do you credit that? Is that a change that's been made in Baltimore that you think is a good sign?
Yes, I do. The police we're working with are in the cold case unit of Baltimore County. I've seen an uptake in interest in the police department only in the last 18 months, not before that.
And is that since The Keepers started airing? Is that when the tide changed?
Well, maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's because they knew there was a documentary being made about what Joseph Maskell did. I can't really speak for them, but all I can tell you, there's an uptick in the last 15 months.
Okay. And the fact is that the allegations that both the victims that were shown on The Keepers and the victims that have come to you, that there were actually police officers involved in the sexual victimization of children, I mean, it makes me sick. I mean, physically ill to hear that.
Jim, we have at least 9 people who were repeatedly raped by police, and Father Neil Magnus, who served at Keo along with Maskell.
All right. Well, that's horrific. I mean, it's bad enough when a priest who's supposed to be, quote, a man of God, sexually victimizes, rapes kids, maybe even gets involved in the murder of Sister Kathy. But it is an exponentially worse thing if police officers are doing this. These people are the ones charged by the state with protecting people and violating those rights. I mean, particularly because Jean's father was a police officer, and that was used against her to make her feel like her father would reject her and be disgusted by her. She was made to feel guilty by all this. These horrific manipulations and violations of children, it's just outrageous. And the world should be outraged about this. The world should all know about this and
the
be outraged.
The world should be, because then Maskell finally gets defrocked, and he heads to Ireland. And he's a defrocked priest in Ireland. And unbelievably, he's saying Mass in Ireland.
How?
I mean, what in the world? And then at least somebody decides to check with the Archdiocese about his background. They find out that he's been defrocked. But in Ireland, nobody can tell me how many masses he said they wouldn't, how many times he did the sacrament of First Communion, it wouldn't count. If he married anyone, it wouldn't count. Where he found most of his victims were in confession. Oh. He would always ask them to talk about sex.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Well, that's another horrific violation. That's another instance in which he is absolutely taking advantage of the position of being a priest to actually groom and molest children. I just want to ask, has there been a concerted effort on the part of the police to actually determine if and who these police officers were? I mean, did these kids have names? Did they have badge numbers? Did they have dates, times, places, anything that they could determine who these people were that were purporting to be police officers, safety officers, but who were actually victimizing kids?
The answer is yes. I think if you talk to the Baltimore County Cold Case Division, they will reluctantly have to tell you yes. There were police involved in this, and we know who they are.
Okay. Are they doing anything about it? Are those police officers still alive? Are they passed away?
Well, you know how cold case homicide is. It's a one-way street, usually.
Okay.
We bring them the information, and they tell us as much as they can to let us know what other witnesses or victims they need, and we do supply them.
Okay. All right. Well, This is still ultimately the most disturbing aspect of this case for me, but let's move on because there's another really disturbing aspect of this case that Francie and I both want to weigh in heavily on, and that is ADA May. During the course of this special, they go back to ADA May a number of times on a number of issues, and what she says infuriates me. She says that you have to take each case on its own merits. You cannot take the evidence from one victim and another victim and another victim and another victim and another victim, 30 to 100 victims coming forward as corroborative of the fact that he is victimizing kids. Why is that? How did she get away with that bold-faced lie?
I just want to say, Joanne, that I am utterly outraged, like Jim is, about the behavior of the former prosecutor depicted in The Keepers, Miss Sharon May. She should be ashamed of herself. She should not be entitled to call herself a former prosecutor. And most importantly, she was dead wrong. I want all our listeners to understand that she was dead wrong when she asserted that each case either A, has to stand on its own, or B, that because each case had to stand on its own, she couldn't take any case because she didn't have any evidence. Child sexual abuse cases are very often founded solely upon the word of the child victim. I prosecuted, I went to trial on many of those cases myself. The jury believed the children, they were convicted. It doesn't make any sense what she said, and she is wrong. I can't believe she even agreed to go on to the Netflix series, The Keepers. I can only assume that she has a huge ego and would get publicity for herself or somehow come out smelling like a rose. But in fact, she and her comments end up stinking to high heaven, in my opinion. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more.
I was shocked when I saw that. What should have been done is that all the cases should have been brought in.
Of course.
And all the physical evidence that was available, there's no question Maskell should have been prosecuted, as well as Neil Magnus, as well as these police who abuse these kids, as well as these nuns that look the other way, as well as officials of the Archdiocese.
Joanne, so that reminds me, you said earlier that you were in mediation with the Archdiocese trying to get some of these victims some restitution, some ways that they can have some financial reparations to seek treatment. What I'm wondering, though, is do you feel in all of your years of dealing with the Archdiocese there in Baltimore that they have taken true responsibility? Are they really accountable for what happened? Have they given the public all of the information the public should have about why this happened, what they knew, and what they did?
Our investigation says they have not.
And we have a pope who has promised, he's actually, I think, the second pope in a row now, who has promised to hold pedophile priests or priests who sexually abuse children accountable for their actions and to be open and transparent about it. But I certainly don't see any evidence other than a whole lot of talking.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going on. I mean, it's more than four decades since the priest that was in my high school molesting kids in my high school, and just now the Archdiocese is actually addressing those victims. And in fact, the fact that I went to him and confessed to him that I was victimized, I actually went to him for help, and he told me, you know, say our 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys and never talk about this again. I mean, he is the reason why I didn't come forward to anybody else. He's the reason why I felt even worse. And yet their position on this is that he wasn't part of the victimization of me. And that's just not true, because he represented the church. The guy who molested me was kicked out of the seminary and yet still ran the CYO camp and taught at Catholic schools, 13 different Catholic schools over 26 years. And every single one of them, there was an allegation he was allowed to resign and walk down the street and get a job at another Catholic school. And that's exactly what they did with Maskell. That's exactly what they did. And the new principal who kicked Maskell out of Keio, she just said, I'll give you 15 minutes to leave. She didn't call the cops. She didn't get him arrested. What the hell is her problem? Why is she not being prosecuted? Because
She couldn't have even done that without notifying headquarters at the Archdiocese.
Of course. And Sister Kathy lost her life. Sister Kathy lost her life trying to protect these kids. And that nun, what her answer is, get out of my hair. I don't want to have to deal with it. It's bullshit. And it happened far too long.
We are requiring that the Archdiocese apologize to each one of my clients and give them written letters of apology for what happened to them back then.
Well, I agree with that.
It's definitely better than nothing. And I certainly pay tribute to you, Joanne, for your decades-long effort on behalf of these victims.
Well, we're just not happy with the amount of compensation they're giving these victims because we have no laws. It's ridiculous. And, you know, I was telling you about Maskell. Let me tell you something that really gets me angry. Okay, he's defrocked. He's back in Ireland, and they have an outbreak in Fern of sexual abuse. Some dealing with intrafamily, some dealing with teachers, just a big outbreak. Unbelievably, in Fern, Ireland, Maskell was never a PhD psychologist or a psychiatrist, but in Fern, they put him in charge of treating these children for sex abuse.
That's horrible.
Unbelievable.
Well, this case is just one unbelievable cascade.
It is unbelievable.
Terrible evil after another. Omissions, commissions, negligence, outright criminality, cover-ups, law enforcement behavior, prosecutors' bad behavior, the church's bad behavior, and it's been going on for decades.
Believe it or not, we're just at the tip of the iceberg right now. Now, don't forget, in Moscow, he also had an OBGYN who was performing DNCs, really abortions, on these girls.
We didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. We've been in touch with nurses at that hospital at the time.
Well, certainly the Keepers documentary touched a little bit, at least, upon the fact that Maskell used to routinely take girls to the OBGYN. But I think what Jim is saying is so true. We and our listeners, you know, it's very powerful when there's a groundswell of support, and the Keepers has generated a lot of heat and light, and hopefully it will then also generate some results.
Well, we really appreciate the fact that you're still fighting the good fight. We'd like to join you in that, and we'd like to have our listeners join you in that. So anything we can do to help, please let us know. Francie and I, we're both experts in this field. We'd be happy to pitch in and help. And if any of our listeners have any information or they know anybody that has been involved in this, please reach out. So, Joanne, where do they call? What number do they call? What email can they send? How can they complain about what happened in this case?
Let me give you the main number to our law firm. That is 410-727-8177. We are open East Coast time from 9 to 5. I'll give you my email, Joanne, J-O-A-N-N-E, at suitorlaw.com. Teresa Lancaster, who was in the Keepers, has since become an attorney, and she works with our firm, is Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, at suitorlaw.com. We will put everyone who calls in contact with investigators, police, archdiocese, other victims, you name it. We've only had 4 males come forward. It's much more difficult for males to come forward. I understand it. I believe that there are at least 40 males out there, and many of them were probably abused back in the late 50s at St. Martin Camp. But the problem is they may not realize they were so young that the person who abused them was Joseph Maskell.
Okay, well, obviously we want to encourage any victims out there of any offenders to come forward. And obviously, Joanne Suter would take your call and try to help you. If she can't be the one to help you, she'll refer you to another lawyer who could. But the fact is that anybody who comes forward should be heard, should be able to be directed to some method of getting justice, even if the statute of limitations is gone. If you were victimized by somebody that we're talking about today or anybody in the church, you should be able to get in touch with the archdiocese and actually tell them what happened, make a record of it, make sure that they address it. If they don't, go to the newspapers, go to the radios, go to podcasts, do everything you can possible to actually address the issues, because you have a right to be heard. As a victim of a child sex crime, especially by somebody in the clergy, you have a right to be heard. The Pope has guaranteed that these issues will be addressed, and Joanne Suter is one of the people that is fighting to make these issues actually addressed so that you get justice.
There was 2 other priests abusing kids along with Maskell at the same time. And there were several different police, and this doctor who was seeing these girls without their parents being present and performing DNCs, which is another way of saying abortion. I mean, he was covered all the way.
I know.
The man was a mastermind. He's a monster. I say my worst case because every day there's more and more. More dead bodies. It just doesn't stop.
Well, I agree. And I think that's a great way to end this episode of Best Case, Worst Case, because we don't want there to be any more cases like that. We want people who are victimized, young or old, to be able to come forward and to get justice, not to run into the wall of
absolutely
corrupt cops who get engaged in this kind of stuff, or ADAs who refuse to bring cases forward, and or priests or teachers or nuns or anybody else who is in a position of authority taking advantage of kids. It's reprehensible. It has no place in our society, and it should be done, period. Thank you very much, Joanne, and thank you, Francie. And for now, we're signing off on this episode of Best Case, Worst Case.
Best Case, Worst Case is an XG production, produced by Jim Clementi at Empire Studios, LA. Engineered and edited by Terrell Parham. Music by Simba Sumba. And hosted by Wondery.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.